And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that was about 20 minutes ago. Justin Termini, who is a total believer in the Cavs. You heard yesterday TNT throughout their broadcast, and if you checked in with them at halftime of the second game, I mean, they were all about the Cavaliers and their chances to contend. I'm joined by Matt Derry. You heard him ask the question. He's in for Ken Carman today. And right now, it's getting harder and harder to dismiss what the Cavaliers are doing. They have the best record in the NBA, second best point differential, all the scoring analytics, all the shooting analytics. Their defense is getting better and better and better. And now you add DeAndre Hunter to the mix. And yesterday you eviscerated a team that gave you all you could handle just a season ago. In fact, they blew you out twice in Orlando and had you on the brink of eliminating you. And last night you wiped the floor with them down in Orlando. Matt, it's a great time to be a Cavs fan.
What planet is this? Isn't this crazy?
Yeah, it's like, unbelievable.
I'm surprised at the amount of national people, and maybe it's because the Stephen A. Smith factor, where he's just so belligerent toward his Knicks. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm going to play that bit on ESPN. I'm so pissed they lost to the Celtics. I'm so angry they got embarrassed by the Cavs. Maybe that's what this is. But even for JT, for Justin Termini, and I like his show on Sirius sometimes, to go come out and say, listen, it's Cleveland, it's Boston, there's nobody else. And oh, by the way, they're better than anybody in the West, too. Because the West is strong. I mean, the West has 500 teams that are in the play-in right now, whereas in the East, you know, Orlando is like seventh, and they're below 500. So that's pretty big talk for a franchise that, you know, when people talk about the elite franchise in the NBA, I mean, no one ever brings the Cavs up. Now, obviously, 48-10. Last night on national TV, they just bomb the Magic. And it's cool to hear. But again, because of Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, some of these guys just have such a good head on their shoulders, they're not going to get too big for their britches. The question is, you know, or are they peaking too early? No, they're blasting everybody.
Well, they've been the same team all year. They've just gotten even better now. At least, I shouldn't say by the numbers, but by the eye test and by the matchup tests that you can throw out there. Now, all of a sudden, they went from a team that, you know, in years past, they had no shooting. They went from a team that didn't have a lot of length. They were in some obvious mismatches in any type of playoff series you could conjure up. And now it seems like all those matchups have now been wiped out. All those mismatches, I should say, have been wiped out.
I mean, look, when they picked up DeAndre Hunter, I think there were a few people, not a lot, most people like the trade, but there were some, oh, you know, that's two guys that were good pieces. Come on, Caris LeVert and Niang was a funny character and a good shooter at times, but you just added a pretty damn good wing that you've been waiting to add and have that kind of a player. Our mutual friend Cleve TA always says, Cavs got to get that athletic wing. And then they go get it. On top of the fact they're two wins away from 50 and we're not even into March yet. That's pretty impressive. And last night, man, without Darius Garland to win by 40 on the road against a playoff team, I mean, what can you say? That's pretty sweet.
Well, they're scary good. Now, the last time we really saw the games that we got up for as fans, the last three times, you had that first win against Oklahoma City.
Right.
And again, Oklahoma City didn't have Chet for that one. The second game, Oklahoma City didn't have Chet, and they didn't have Hartenstein, and yet they rolled the Cavs. That was in OKC, and that was scary. We couldn't even dribble the ball past half court. They had like seven different guys coming at you in every direction, swarming, and that really bothered us, and we got blown out of that game. And then we had the Boston game, where they came here and they controlled us. They controlled that game. All of that was before DeAndre Hunter. So you have a chance on Friday for the first time. Now, we don't know who's going to play in that game. We don't know if Darius is going to play. As Justin Termini said, Jaylen Brown is now nursing an injury. So it might not be really the best way to kind of gauge what this is going to be like in the playoffs. Plus, you wonder about the mind games. You wonder what's held back. Are you going to see the best of both teams in that game? Probably not.
I hope so.
We get so few of those opportunities, Matt.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like you won a couple of measuring stick games. Like you mentioned the OKC games, which were kind of like back-to-back, weren't they? So we're pretty close to each other. You split with them. There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to lose some games. And there's going to be some games where you've got to sit some guys out. There was the game in Detroit when Garland hit the buzzer beater. I think Donovan Mitchell sat that game out. And I was at that game. Like there's games guys have to sit. But I would hope for Friday that maybe Jaylen Brown sits tonight and plays Friday. Let's see them at their best, see the Cavs at their best, and what's wrong with that? In a league where everybody says, regular season doesn't matter, these guys are load managing and everything else, let's see a game Friday night that's got a little juice to it.
Well, it would be nice. You know, that last time they played, Al Horford, was big, and he did a sensational job against Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley, you left that game going, man, is Mobley not ready for prime time? But then ever since then, Mobley has looked like a unicorn, a special player.
He is. I mean, those two guys in that draft from a couple of years ago, this year have taken steps, him and Cade Cunningham, that have been immense. And they're both stars. And when have we ever talked about that in this town? Anthony, even the really great teams with Brad and Larry and Mark Price and all these guys, none of them were considered stars. Obviously, LeBron was that chosen one star. But now, I mean, Donovan Mitchell and Mobley, you could say, at least you got two stars on the team, and that's how you win in this league.
All right, Matt Derry is in for Ken. This was interesting. We got a chance to talk to Justin Termini last segment, about 20 minutes ago. And not only was he high on the Cavs, but he was high on another team that he despises. He was high on another player that he absolutely despises. Listen to this as you're starting to forecast potential NBA Finals matchups.
I think they can. I can kind of imagine. It'd be a lot of LeBron like taking credit for what's going on in L.A. right now, also laying the foundation for what went on in Cleveland. So he'd almost be like, either way, it's about me. Either way, I win. So I already kind of know what it'd be like in a Finals against the Cavs and the Lakers.
I am starting to hear more and more people, Matt, convince themselves that this Lakers team basically left for dead about a month ago. That this is a nice season LeBron's having. He's not playing any defense. He's not really working his butt off, but he's still putting up numbers, and he's doing it at the age of 40. That, we're getting closer and closer to the end. This year was always supposed to be about LeBron and his kid playing together. Now, LeBron is starting to have that look that we have seen where he's like, oh, wait a second. We can do this. We can make our way through the Western Conference. These other teams are going to cower when they see Luka and LeBron matched up, having to deal with them over the course of a playoff series. And they've got a coaching edge, I would even say. I've been impressed, especially the last month, what I've been seeing out of Redick. So I'll ask you, is this a total pipe dream?
I mean, I think the J.J. Redick story is interesting because it's finally somebody LeBron likes. I mean, when he doesn't like somebody.
He was doing a podcast.
Right.
Last year.
I think what helps J.J. Redick is that Austin Reeves is having a career year and he just got Luka. It's like, all of a sudden J.J. Redick's a genius, right? When Frank Vogel won the bubble title, he had Anthony Davis, LeBron, and they were in the bubble. When Frank Vogel was in Phoenix and Durant and all them hated him, he was a terrible coach.
Matt, they're the four seed. You got to give him. He's a rookie head coach.
No, he gets credit. He does. But, Anthony, I'm telling you, we could sit here and talk about, what about Cavs versus LeBron final? The Lakers can't guard anybody. They're going to get through Denver and Oklahoma City and guard those teams and win eight games? I don't see it. I think the Lakers will definitely win a series. I think if they play the second round, which they would right now against OKC.
They would, yes.
It would be intriguing. But I don't think defense. I think OKC would look up and go,
I know.
Luka, let's let Luka score 30, but SGA will score 45 on him.
Matchup wise, you're right. You're absolutely right. Especially if Chet is healthy, that changes things a little bit because, we as Cavs, we didn't get to see him healthy. But They're an intriguing team, but they're also a team like the Cavs that have had no playoff success whatsoever with their current core.
Correct.
You know, they, I think, have only been to the second round. We have only been to the second round. That is what is so intriguing about the NBA this year is, yeah, you have Boston, and everybody expected Boston to just be there and have an easy run at it. But you've got these other two teams, and now you add Luka to get a chance to play with LeBron, who's desperate for one last chance, one last march. On paper, the Lakers roster is not good enough. They aren't. But
on defense, defensively.
Yeah.
I think offensively it is.
But man, I mean, have you seen LeBron lately? He has turned the clock back like a decade.
He's playing great.
So,
and it would be an unbelievable story, and obviously LeBron coming home and everything else, but like, we're way... What, I mean, 92.3 The Fan resides in what city? Cleveland. Let's just wait.
What is that like, supposed to mean?
Because we always know how this happens for our town.
That's
now, again,
over.
The Cavs broke that hex in 2016.
Listen, did they break that hex. I have seen now a combination of four championships, three national titles, one Cavs title. Hell, I'll throw Stipe and his heavyweight championship in there as well.
I'll
throw the Monsters in there as well.
Owen, okay? Turn his mic off.
Okay?
Owen, turn his mic
off.
So
I am not one
that.
Of those that is
Stipe?
Daunting.
Stipe? You didn't just play the Stipe.
It was one of the great moments at the Rocket. At Rocket Arena. It's one of the great moments in the history of that building. Anybody that was in that building knows. Matt, all I'm saying
is, as a Cleveland Guardians fan, number one, first and foremost, do not do that to me. Do not do that to me.
See, you're still living and you're thinking back to those 90s days where you couldn't fathom that the Indians didn't break through. That's what's still on your mind. I know for a fact you as a baseball
guy. On my mind,
guy.
I woke up this morning thinking about it, and I wasn't even preparing for radio, and I went back to the Rajee Davis.
You've been damaged. You've been viscerally damaged.
That's what I'm trying to say before. Come on now.
I'm telling you.
Cut me a little slack here. You're sitting there going, Cavs, Lakers, they're just going to beat the Celtics. It's like, hold on a second.
It's the dawn of a new day. And I told you, I did not think the Cavs had any shot before the DeAndre Hunter trade. And I can't believe that I'm sitting here today watching this team. They haven't lost since he's been in the lineup. It gives them so many other combinations. It allows them to play so freely. And I know the depth is not going to be as big of a deal come playoff time when it's really about your main guys. But come on, DeAndre Hunter just changes so much, I think, for this team.
They're a wagon. They're damn good. I'm not saying they're not going to make the finals. I think they got a great chance. And I love how much more athletic they are with Hunter than maybe Boston is.
Yeah,
right.
I'm curious. 216-474-0092. Matt, I think there's some older fans that still think like you. Some younger fans.
You're calling me old?
I'm not far behind you, but what I'm saying is that I do think there is that woe is me, when is the other shoe going to drop mentality with some fans.
I'm not saying woe is me. I'm just saying we got to have a little bit of. I think this Cavs team can make the finals. Absolutely, I think they can. I think they should, actually. I think they're good enough.
You say I've sounded a little too cocky.
You're like, all right, okay. So Cavs are in. Let's talk about LeBron.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
All right, who are you siding with? 216-474-0092. Anthony Lima, Matt Derry in for Ken Carmen.
Saw some pics of Ken's trip on the social medias there.
Yeah, I'm glad you saw that because I'm still waiting. Mitch, at no point did he volunteer the pictures of these girl he's hitting on.
Oh, we're back on that.
No, we don't have to be. Now, Ken did not. Now, do you think it's bad? Let me ask you this. Let's be fair here, and Ken's not here to defend himself. But he's a big boy, and I think he can handle it.
Well, I think it's the perfect time to talk about Ken if he's not here to defend himself.
That is when you want to do it, right? That's when you want to do it. You can get away with a little more. Mitch, if you have anything to say with Ken being out, today is your day. Really,
seriously,
the rest of the week is your day. Okay, so Ken golfed yesterday with Tony over at Extend Technologies. They played a nice round of golf. I was getting videos throughout the day. We were critiquing his swing. Looks like Ken is having a great time. He was at the NASCAR Museum in Daytona the day before. So he is all over it right now in Florida.
Having a blast.
But you know what he didn't do? He didn't go to the Cavs game last night.
Right, he should have been at the game last. How do you not go? There's plenty of tickets.
In
Nobody
Orlando.
Down there cares about the Magic.
Get in price yesterday was $20, and you know, given the connections, I don't think he'd have to pay.
No, to me, when your favorite team is down there, that's always cool to see a new arena and check out the Cavs as a road team. Like, bad move. Got to go to the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird though because I can understand. If we were out of town, like I've mentioned, hey, going to London or wherever and going and watching the Cleveland Browns, like my wife would be like, why are we watching the Browns? Why are we not taking advantage of every moment we have in another country. Why are we just doing something you could do in Cleveland? So if you think about it that way, I could understand if Liz was like, dude, you just golfed for 5 hours, and you know it took longer than that.
Right.
What are you doing
we're,
now?
We're not going to the Cavs game.
Yeah, we're not
going to the Cavs game when we're at home. Right.
Right, which they're, you know, they're busy. He's coaching. He's got all sorts of stuff, wearing a lot of different hats. So I could understand that, but this is a special Cavs team right now. We can use that term, right?
They're 48-10. They don't lose. Like I said earlier, like they're like the 95 Indians. They don't lose. And you used to go to Jacobs Field that year and you go, what's the score going to be? Because we're going to win. Same way with the Cavs right now. They've won, what, 12 or 13? They're blowing everybody out. It's awesome.
Okay, so yesterday...
He should have gone.
Yes. And by the way, today at 1 o'clock, you're going to be able to hear from Kevin Stefanski. And I know he's going to be asked about Myles Garrett. He's certainly going to be asked about all that situation. And also Nick Chubb. So, you know, this was a hard day yesterday. Not only were Browns fans reminded once again that we're in a pickle with Myles Garrett, that the quarterback is... You know, going to have surgery again. I don't even think that's top of anyone's mind about Deshaun Watson. But that question had to be asked because they were very evasive leading up to this about what was going on with him. I should say, before I get to the Nick Chubb stuff, were you buying anything you were hearing yesterday again about Deshaun Watson? Like, no specifics, except now they at least told us he twisted his foot. But he didn't say doing what. He just kept saying rehab, rehab, rehab. Well, you've seen rumors. There are all sorts of rumors about what happened with Deshaun Watson. They've done nothing to debunk any rumors about how Watson got injured.
Said it was an unfortunate accident.
Okay, what was the accident? What was he doing?
An unfortunate
accident. Because he wasn't with the team.
They want nothing to do with him.
At no point was he with the team. You know, we were joking with Brian Hoyer yesterday, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Brian, what'd you do after you tore your ACL? You went down to South Beach, right? Oh, no, you were a good teammate, and you were with your team. You know, the team that's paying you. And he didn't get, you know, $260 million guaranteed or whatever.
I will still maintain that I do not believe this as much as I am conspiracy theory all over on this.
Good, because they're not debunking it. What's your conspiracy theory, Owen?
Well, I've told you, $230 million makes a man do a lot of things. And I think if you tell him, hey, you're done playing football for our team.
And we don't want to see you again.
We'll bite the bullet. We're going to bite the bullet on the money. And you can't just go, we'll fake it all. I think we're redoing all the surgeries and everything.
Yeah, Matt, listen to this. Listen to Andrew Berry. Thanks for posting this, guys. Mitch, here's Andrew Berry yesterday on Deshaun Watson's re-injury. And did this only fuel the conspiracies?
You know, obviously, Deshaun, he re-injured his Achilles. You know, unfortunately, he turned his foot ankle area that caused the re-tear during the normal stages of, you know, the recovery process. I know there's been a lot of speculation and everything out there, but, you know, there's nothing nefarious. It's just an unfortunate accident. So our focus is on making sure that he gets healthy and can be back to normal.
The normal stages of the recovery process.
That's awesome.
I smell it.
Notice what he didn't say. What he didn't say was, okay, he was working out with our affiliated trainers, our approved trainers down in South Beach, where he was dedicating himself to doing everything he could to get back on the football field. You didn't hear anything remotely like that. All I heard was, you know, during various stages of recovery, of living life, of breathing in the oxygen.
I think you're overthinking this one.
You think I am?
I think him saying nothing nefarious is a little bit of a dig at Deshaun. Because of his past, I think Andrew Berry's been waiting years to probably dig at him.
Oh, really?
Don't you think? Come on.
I don't know.
Don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, we're all sitting here wondering still who...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Who's responsible for the Deshaun Watson move? Who convinced Jimmy Haslam for the move?
Right, it's like the Zapruder film. But like,
we don't know.
I think Barry handled that answer pretty well, actually. I liked it.
I don't know. But conspiracy theorists.
Owen might be right. Who knows how he did it? Who knows?
Who knows if he did it?
Okay, and the next question is, what's the deal then with this attempt to recoup money, to get some savings, not only financially, but with the salary cap? Whatever happened to that story? He was asked about it yesterday. He kind of poo-pooed it. He didn't really go into detail on that at all. So it's just leaving a lot of fans who want to trust you. They want to trust the Browns. We want to trust our teams to some extent. We always understand there's going to be a certain level of mystery because they can't tell us all of their proprietary stuff. On this one, it's very easy. How did he get injured? How did he re-injure it? You've not told us. You've had every opportunity to tell us. What are they hiding? And what's the purpose? You think I'm going too far, Matt?
But no, I think most teams, this is how they do business. This is what Belichick did for years. You give as much information as you're allowed, and then every Wednesday during the season, you must give a report, whether they are doubtful, questionable, whatever, that you do the bare minimum. Andrew Berry, yes, as fans, we'd like some transparency as paying season ticket holders or whatever we are. But he gave as much as he could give. I mean, there's no rule that says he has to tell us. Right?
No, there's no rule at all. It's just your fan base has zero respect for what's going on right now.
Or trust. And we were talking about the Cavs before, and later we're talking about the Guardians. Look, the Guardians don't tell you much either. But the Guardians, for the most part, don't use the word like nefarious. And neither do the Cavs. Because the Cavs culture right now is at an all-time high. The Guardians, everybody gets along. The Browns have to use words like nefarious. It's just,
you're right, Matt. Like the word trust. Because I don't think it matters what he says. I don't trust any of it when it comes to this right now.
Yeah, who can you trust? I mean, Anthony was talking about Nick Chubb before. That was a guy you could trust for a long time.
Right.
Now they may have to say goodbye to him.
Well, speaking of, terrific segue, here is Andrew Berry. Yesterday, from the Combine, audio courtesy of Spencer German.
I would say at this point that we do expect Nick to hit the market. You know, obviously his contract is up this year. We'll meet with his reps and everything like that. You know, but it's something that obviously we need to work on for the next couple of weeks.
All right, the way he talked yesterday certainly sounded to me like not only is Nick Chubb going to be a free agent, he very well might have played his last down of football as the Cleveland Browns. Now first, I want to be fair. Like, do we think there's going to be some significant Nick Chubb market coming off another injury? I mean, you saw when Kareem Hunt signed, and he was not coming off an injury. You saw when Kareem Hunt signed last year with Kansas City. Owen, when was it that he...
Like week five, and it was only because of a Pacheco injury.
There's never a market for these guys.
No, the running back market right now, last year, what was it, like Tony Pollard and a few others, and how'd that work out for Tennessee? They overspent on a guy like that. You draft a guy in the fifth or sixth round, and that's our Nick Chubb replacement. You know, that's unless you're getting a home run hitter like a Jahmyr Gibbs or somebody or Bijan, and there's not many of those guys around. But it's not what it used to be. It's sad because you wanted him to retire Brown. You love number 24, but it's likely he'll hit the open market. You just wonder what the market would look like and if he would come back here on kind of a team-friendly one-year deal when he sees that his market is not what he thought it was going to be.
Well, he's not going to be on a different roster before October. Like, I don't think that's happening at all, right? Like,
the only thing I could think at all was some sort of coming home to Atlanta. I've never heard him talk all that much about, you know, how cool it would be to play at home.
I mean, every rehab has been at high school. You know, it's not...
That's a good point.
It's not like he's up. He is up here a ton. He was at least here smashing guitars, you know, on crutches.
You've got a whole town there named after his namesake and everything. His family. It's a great story if you go back and learn about Chubbtown. But that would be my only guess. But you know, this is a loaded running back draft, and I don't think Nick Chubb is not gonna change any team, including the Browns. It's not gonna change their opinion on how they're doing business come draft when it comes to running back.
No, but what did we say before? The Browns right now have got to appease their best football player who's telling him he wants to leave. So what does Myles Garrett think of Nick Chubb? Seriously, if you're Andrew Berry, you almost call up Myles and go, hey, look, I know you're not speaking with us and you hate us and you want to leave, but real fast, do you want us to bring Nick back? It's almost like you got to run everything by number 95 right now.
Well, and it was bizarre last year because they're supposed to be the cap gurus, but they forced Nick Chubb, who up until Myles' explosion of last year's, Nick Chubb was the best Browns player of my lifetime. Of course. Probably the most popular. Even though he was so soft-spoken, everybody loved Nick Chubb. Everybody loved what he brought to the table. He had a running back style that I thought was so special and unique. He got the most out of every carry. It didn't matter whether his offensive line was great or whether his offensive line was injured. He was still getting five and a half yards per carry no matter what. And yet, what did the Browns do last year? The minute he came back from injury, they're like, work your ass off to get back in the field. Oh, by the way, we're going to make you take a pay cut. And we are going to make you take a considerable pay cut. And you can earn your money with incentives, which they knew he was never going to hit. And, of course, he didn't hit because he got injured again. And they weren't even going to use him enough to obtain those incentives. So, you know, they treated it like a business last year. And now maybe you have the other side of that. And I just wonder where fans are at on this, because you already lost a fan favorite in Baker Mayfield a few years ago. That was different circumstances. You could be losing
Myles
Garrett.
Hold on. A fan favorite? Not like Garrett and Chubb, though.
For some people,
it's pretty close.
Some. Really? Yeah, I guess so.
You realize we were having our game simulcast in Oklahoma. There were a lot of new Browns fans because of Baker. Anyway, so Baker gone. Myles potentially gone. Joel Bitonio potentially gone. You even had the hometown kid. You had your stud corner, Denzel Ward. The day after the first Myles salvo was fired, he's like, I'd have to kind of think about my future. And he walked it back. Yeah. Like, these are all the guys that we were excited about and loving a championship core.
JOK's beloved.
Oh, man.
And he could be done, you know, injury-wise.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, about the Chubb thing, Anthony, and you bring up a good point, is from a PR standpoint, yes, Andrew Berry has to say, he's probably going to hit the open market. All right. But if the Browns brought him back, that would be, a solid, positive PR move.
It would
be. And again, people are going to say, they won 3 games. Who cares about PR? Well, right now they do. They have to. They do. They've got to do some things right in order to appease their best player. And, oh, by the way, those folks are on the fence about renewing their season tickets or even buying tickets next year. This is a low point right now.
All right, let me ask some fans here. 216-474-0092. Josh in Berea, what would be your reaction if you had to see Nick Chubb playing elsewhere next year?
Devastating. He's my favorite Brown. I know everyone's going to say Myles, and, you know, everyone knows I'm a big Baker bro, so sorry, Matt Derry. I was one of those guys.
There you go.
That's all right.
It's just a continuum of, like, we are doing continuity for the sake of continuity because Jimmy Haslam was viewed as a nutcase owner, and now he wants to be viewed as a understanding, humble man, even though we know Andrew Berry said, hey, let's get Deshaun Watson, and then when Baker didn't answer his phone, he pretty much put the gun to his head and said, give him an offer, he can't refuse. And now we're stuck, and we're paying for this every freaking day. And losing Nick Chubb is the reason why Kevin Stefanski literally, his offenses were considered great. Because Kevin Stefanski's never had a top 10 offense, although we always call him a great offensive coordinator or a great guru. But yet, he can't retain quarterbacks. We keep saying, he did great with Jacoby Brissett. Great with Jacoby Brissett? He only threw 12 touchdowns. It was Nick Chubb who almost had freaking 1,600 yards that year that made our offense respectable. And losing this guy, I'm not going to bet against him. If he does hit the open market, I can see him going to a team like Pittsburgh and somehow rejuvenating his career because Nick Chubb is a beast. Yes, last year he didn't look great, but our offensive line is horrendous and aging, and that's another thing we got to address before even getting like a Matthew Stafford or whoever the hell we're going to get, because how are you going to protect the quarterback we're going to get? That's why I think you got to go young with a younger quarterback, see what you can do, but whatever. I digress.
All right, Josh, yeah, we got to go. I'm sorry about that. We got to go.
Real fast, something Josh just said. If Nick Chubb were still a beast, would Andrew Berry have said, hey, we're going to let him hit the market?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. I'll get to that generational talent talk in a little bit. Don't forget, Matt Underwood joining us at 9:20. But I just got a deluge of social media posts, which, of course, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Are you in trouble again?
You are. Nate in Bay says, what is Derry smoking? In what world is a young playoff-bound quarterback not a fan favorite? As we talked about the Browns losing all these fan favorites, and I mentioned Baker to start it out, and you said fan favorite.
There were plenty of people that hated him.
Their names were Anthony and Lima at one point. Zach and Jackson. There were plenty of us by the end that were done with the Baker experience. Right now, we look pretty stupid because Baker just put up an insane year. He's been to the playoffs twice. He won another playoff game, a couple of years ago. And Deshaun Watson has potentially contaminated the entire situation. But we don't have to relitigate that whole thing. We've done that time and time again. With that said, come on. Baker had sold as many jerseys. People loved Baker Mayfield.
Yes, but now I would not say he was at the level of Myles Garrett or Nick Chubb.
You don't think coming off that playoff season, coming off the Pittsburgh win?
But in the end, there were plenty of people that were glad he was gone.
Yeah, that's true. It was a little bit of a roller coaster for sure. At his peak,
Matt
felt it was Bernie Kosar all over again.
I wouldn't go that far. Come on. Bernie was the Lord in this town. Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. But maybe there was a different time.
Owen?
I don't know. I get where you're saying that people were ready to be gone with him once he left. But I think in the same vein, that people loved him more than Miles when he was here. There were a lot of people that loved him more than Miles when he was here. And I think Miles kind of put himself in a little corner when he brought up LeBron during his Super Bowl week talks.
Oh, no, that definitely hurts.
There's going to be enough people out the door if he does leave this offseason that are going to say good riddance, and it's going to be enough for the national media, the outside of Cleveland people, to go, see, they didn't even appreciate him when he was there, and forget about all the great times that Cleveland spent celebrating him.
All right. I comparing him to Bernie? No, I'm not doing that.
All right, yesterday in Indy, plenty of news, plenty of sound bites. It's a lot of vague sentences as well. However, this was not vague at all. Listen to the way that Andrew Berry talked about somebody who others have dubbed a generational talent in Travis Hunter.
Well, I'd say this. In terms of Travis Hunter, cornerback or receiver, the answer is yes. He can play both, and I think that's what makes him special. We would see him as a receiver primarily first, but I think part of, again, what makes him a bit of a unicorn is the fact that he can do both at a high level.
So he also went into detail, Matt, about why he looked at him more as a wide receiver, just the amount of reps. He talked about his ball skills and just how many more opportunities he's going to have. Now, depending on who you listen to, I've heard a number of scouts say that they consider him, the value is not there at wide receiver. The value is there at lockdown corner, especially with the ball skills that he has. Because now, think about all the Denzel Ward dropped interceptions, right?
Right.
That have gone off his hands. That's not happening with Travis Hunter. And those are the types of guys, unless you're in the Jamar Chase neighborhood, unless you're, Calvin Johnson coming out. Well, I don't know about you. Travis Hunter was an amazing college player. I mean, I don't think he was the best wide receiver in college football last year. And if you're taking him at number two overall, then you're taking the wide receiver that wasn't even the best, in my opinion.
No, if you're taking him number two overall, he's going to play corner mostly.
Well,
that's just a more premium position.
Oh, so
you're not drafting a wide receiver at number two.
So
you're not.
So that means that I think we're on the same page on this. Andrew Berry's not taking him at number two. That is not happening. Would he even take him if they traded down to number six? Would they take him there to play
wide
receiver?
Yes. If you're trading back and you decide that this quarterback crop is not for you, and I think that would be a mistake, Hunter at six, if somebody wanted to come up and get Shador or whatever it is, and you're getting a boatload of picks and you're creative, Hunter at six, yes. And I know some people are listening to this right now going, what is he talking about? Hunter at two, no. I agree with you. But to me, you got to have corners, you got to have edge rushers, you got to have offensive linemen and a quarterback. Receivers, yes, you got to have good ones, and Heck, the Browns got a good one last year in Jerry Jeudy, and it was a great pickup, and it worked out. But, no, I'm not taking Travis Hunter, the receiver, at two. If your plan is he's going to be a corner and he's going to be a big upgrade from Newsom and everything else, yeah, then I'm taking him at two if that's how you feel. But that might not be how they feel about it.
Do you think Andrew Berry thinks his value is more as a wide receiver than as a corner as far as other teams looking at him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wanting to move up and take him at two. Is this just a power play to shop the pick?
No, you're right, Owen. That's what they have to do. They've got to play that game. At two, they've got to say, they got to fall in love 1 week with Shador, then they got to fall in love publicly 1 week with Travis Hunter and build up that spot so that teams are going to want to offer a lot to move up just to see what the options are. They've got to do this right.
There's obviously been so few guys that have even been allowed to be able to do this, and you've seen it. Like, the athleticism is off the charts. He was doing amazing things. Watching Colorado, he was just as much must-watch as Shador Sanders was. He was awesome. I just don't see in the NFL, what are you going to be like, spending half the time in one room, in one meeting room throughout the week, and then the other? I don't understand that at all. And then, to me, if his biggest value is that he can do both, I think that goes right out the window if you're playing him at wide receiver. Then what, are you going to throw him out in nickel? And then he hasn't been out there all game, and now I've got to see him in big passing situations, stay with somebody when he might be gassed from the last few routes he might have run on offense. I just don't think a lot of it adds up to me. I think he's got to pick one, but he's not going to. I think he finds himself as a unique all-time player.
It's hard. I mean,
look who his head coach was in college.
No, of course. And Deion let his guys do a lot of things that other coaches wouldn't do. And look, the kid was clearly, like you said, the best player in college football. But like, Charles Woodson to me was one of the best college football players I ever saw. And at the end at Michigan, he was playing some receiver, but mostly was a corner. He got to the next level, and I'm not saying his body was beat up from all the reps, all the snaps in college, but he had a great NFL career, really good NFL career. I don't know if it was great, but he was a corner, then moved to safety at the end of his NFL career, and that's it. He never played on offense in the NFL. It's hard. It's a different level. College football is great, don't get me wrong, and he was in the Big 12 at the end. But NFL is a different animal, man. That's going to be, like you said, Anthony, that's going to be difficult to do.
Yeah, and yeah, the hard part of it, too, is like, I know this shouldn't matter. Like, I wouldn't like to do this with quarterbacks, so I would yell at somebody if they were doing this with quarterbacks. But, you know, Jeremiah Smith was a better wide receiver than him last year. Now, Jeremiah Smith's not in this draft.
Right,
but if we're talking number two overall, and you're having him at wide receiver, I mean, I think McMillan, you can make the argument at Auburn, was better. Who was the young wide receiver at LSU? Who was an amazing, he was skinny, but it was an amazing freshman as well. He was incredible.
Yeah, but you can't use freshman receivers.
I know.
And then
number two.
Since he wasn't the best wide receiver in college this year.
I'll say this.
If he's the best wide receiver in the draft, then maybe you do have to take him.
Number two overall, you got to be an all-time wide receiver.
If Tennessee takes Ward with the first pick, and the Browns are dug in that they're taking somebody at two, Abdul Carter, to me, is a game wrecker. And he affects the game.